Good morning, Symphony. Today we are finishing off the book of Esther. So let's read from chapter 9, verses 20 to chapter 10, verse 3. Verse 20. And Mordecai recorded these things and sent letters to all the Jews who were in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, both near and far, obliging them to keep the 14th day of the month Adar, and also the 15th day of the same year by year, as the days on which the Jews got relief from their enemies, and as the month that had been turned for them from sorrow into gladness, and mourning into a holiday, that they should make them days of feasting and gladness, days for sending gifts of food to one another and gifts to the poor. So the Jews accepted what they had started to do, and what Mordecai had written to them. For Haman, the Agagite, the son of Hammedatha, the enemy of all the Jews, had plotted against the Jews to destroy them, and had cast pur, that is, cast lots, to crush and to destroy them. But when it came before the king, he gave orders in writing that his evil plan that he had devised against the Jews should return on his own head, and that he and his son should be hanged on the gallows. Therefore they call these days Purim, after the term pur. Therefore, because of all that was written in the letter, and of what they had faced in this matter, and of what had happened to them, the Jews firmly obligated themselves and their offspring, and all who joined them, that without fail they would keep these 2 days according to what was written, and at the time appointed every year, that these days should be remembered and kept throughout every generation, in every clan, province, and city, and that these days of Purim should never fall into disuse among the Jews, nor should the commemoration of these days cease among their descendants. Then Queen Esther, the daughter of Abihail, and Mordecai the Jew, gave full written authority, confirming the second letter about Purim. Letters were sent to all the Jews to the 127 provinces of the kingdom of Ahasuerus in words of peace and truth, that these days of Purim should be observed at their appointed seasons, as Mordecai the Jew and Queen Esther obligated them, and as they had obligated themselves and their offspring with regard to their fast and their lamenting. The command of Esther confirmed these practices of Purim, and it was recorded in writing. Chapter 10. King Ahasuerus imposed tax on the land and on the coastlands of the sea, and all the acts of his power and might, and the full account of the high honor of Mordecai to which the king advanced him, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Media and Persia? For Mordecai the Jew was second in rank to King Ahasuerus, and he was great among the Jews and popular with the multitude of his brothers, for he sought the welfare of his people and spoke peace to all his people. Amen. Now, yesterday's passage may have seemed like the peak and climax of the book of Esther. God miraculously delivered the Jews of Susa through a complete reversal of events. But today's passage teaches us something that we ironically forget: the importance of remembrance. How often have you had a great memory to only forget it eventually, and then that memory later gets triggered and you think, wow, how could I have forgotten that memory? I think we can all raise our hands for that one. So with that intentionality, Esther and Mordecai inaugurate the Feast of Purim, which is basically a 2-day holiday of feasting and gift-giving, and it is still celebrated by Jewish followers this day. They really did not want to forget how God used Esther and Mordecai to reverse the fate of their kindred. The passage describes this day as a day of feasting and gladness, and those are the marks of celebration. Amongst all the spiritual disciplines, sometimes the discipline of celebration can be overlooked. I think there are some nuances on how we see celebration that can help us understand it better. First, are celebrations that are regular and expected. Think holidays, birthdays, anniversaries. As Christians, we celebrate the birth of Jesus on Christmas and the resurrection of Jesus on Easter. The second are celebrations that come with circumstances like graduating, getting a job, or hitting a financial milestone like buying a car or a house. Or for Christians, perhaps when God does a big thing in your life or delivers you from something you've been tied down to for so long. And this is so worthy of celebrating. But I want to suggest that the key to the discipline of celebration is remembrance. If celebration is only coming from that latter nuance, which is just celebrations with circumstances, then it's only dependent on what is going on in the now. Although important, it will be quick and fleeting. And it's actually something that we see throughout the scriptures over and over again. God delivering the Israelites, them praising him, and then forgetting about it, forgetting his character and his ways. Even to the point when a similar situation happens again in the future, they forget what God had already done for them and lose trust that he can provide in the now and in the future. And that's why Queen Esther and Mordecai inaugurate the Feast of Purim, so that in future seasons of trials and tribulation, they could take time to remember, celebrate, and have hope for the future, as the same God that delivered them then will surely do the same now. So what about you? Let's take time to ask God to help bring up memories and moments of God's faithfulness. Here are some practical tips that I've adapted over the past few seasons, and I'll explain it as the four R's. Number one, reflect. Ask the Holy Spirit to bring up important moments where God was working in your life. Perhaps you already know what these are, or maybe God will reveal something new to you that you were unable to see before. Another way to reflect is to do a life timeline, year by year, from as young as you can remember. Number two, write things down. Okay, this one starts with a W, but bear with me here. Write, journal, list. I actually have a running list of milestone moments and key encouragements and encounters that I've had with God throughout my life. It's filled with people that he's brought my way, scripture passages that he's ingrained in me, and words that he's spoken over me. Verse 31 says that there were regards to their fasting and lamenting as well. So this means that remembrance also requires revisiting painful and difficult seasons, taking time to acknowledge them and to cry out to God. Remembrance is not about just picking and choosing, but seeing God moving through it all. The God of the mountains is also the God of the valleys. Number three, revisit. Revisit them and read over your thoughts and emotions from that time. It's pretty cool because when doubts or confusion come in the current day, you can read things that you yourself wrote. I recently celebrated my birthday, and each year I make it a point to take significant time to reflect on the past year and to revisit that list, not only on events, but more specifically how God was working in them and what I learned from them. And lastly, number four, relay. In other words, share. Share your testimony. Share ways that God has been working in your life. Share with your microchurch, your family group, your friends, family, your coworkers, strangers on the street, and everyone in between. Sharing regularly not only helps us to remember, but it stirs up other people to reflect and to do the same. So to recap, reflect, write, revisit, and relay. Remembrance is important because it helps us celebrate and have joy in God's faithfulness in seasons where it may seem like there is nothing to remember. Let us not forget the daily bread that our Father provides for us and his Son Jesus, who paid it all for us to have an abundant life with him for all of eternity. And let us lean on the Holy Spirit to keep the fire burning in our hearts and minds as we remember him today. Let's pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you don't let a single thing go to waste and that you bring up memories and remembrance in the right time to bring us encouragement in our current season. But I do pray, God, for our church that you would help us to really practice this discipline of celebration, of giving thanks to you, of praising and acknowledging your faithfulness in the life of our church, in our city, and in our own lives. And so today we want to remember you, Jesus, what you have done, and we give you all the praise and glory today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.